And today, I'm going to also have a guest speaker join me in a little bit. All right? So just wanted you to be aware of that. And I just mentioned about, you know, building relationships, right? And so my first question on the mentee is going to be about that subject. And it's, what are some of the main ingredients to build a healthy relationship? What are some of the main ingredients for building a healthy relationship? Honesty, trust, communication, consistency. Yes, food. Going out to eat. There's nothing like it. Amen. Loyalty. Yes, praying. Humility, laughter. Amen. Vulnerability. Yes. Understanding. Yes, we definitely have to understand each other. Be patient with each other. Yes. And I see communication kind of is like at the top. And so I know that communication is very important, right? And how we communicate. You know, different people communicate differently, right? For me, the way I communicate is I kind of share how I'm feeling about something, and then if there's something I'd like you to do, I kind of like tell you at that point, right? It's kind of brief. Some other people, they want to tell you everything, each point, break it down for you, and then, you know, possibly what you can do. But it's different. But I believe that a lack of communication is where things start to break down, right? And if we're trying to help somebody spiritually, what do you think is the best way that we can help somebody spiritually today? What do you think that is? Listening. Well, I can tell you what I think, right? But sometimes we just need to go to God's word and see what he says. And in Thessalonians 2:8, it says, having such a deep affection for you, we were delighted to share with you not only God's good news, but also our own lives, because you had become so very dear to us. When I read this, two things just kind of jump off the page at me. It's at the start, it says affection. And at the end, it talked about that you're so dear to us. What does that sound like to you? You know what? That sounds like family. When we use those words, it's associated for me with family. And that's what this church is, my friends. We are family. And so I am so proud to be a part of this church. And we're going to spend some time today in Acts 17, 22 through 29. And it's kind of like an old-fashioned Bible study that we're going to have today. And I believe that we can learn lessons from Paul in how to build relationships and share the gospel as well, right? So let me give you a little background first in Acts 17 before verse 22. Paul was in Berea. Right? And he was preaching the word there at the synagogue. And he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And you know what? Many believed. It said many prominent women and many men believed. But there were also some troublemakers there. There's some Jewish troublemakers that were stirring things up for Paul. And the believers said, you know what, Paul? We're fearing for your life. We're going to take you to the coast, and you're going to go to Athens, right? So that's exactly what they did. You know, Berea is probably about 50 miles from Athens. So Paul landed in Athens, and he was walking around in the city. And the scripture says that Paul's spirit within him was provoked, right? That kind of means that he was annoyed. He might have been angry. In other translations, it says that he was troubled or distressed. Why? Because the city was full of idols. They were all over the place. And so I'm not sure what Paul was thinking, but I know Paul had to know about Athens before he got there, right? But when you see something, it's different than hearing about it, right? Things come true and you say, wow, man, this is what's really going on here. And so Paul went to the marketplace where the everyday people met and went about their business, whatever they were going to do. And he met a group of philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoic. And so let me just let you know a little something about the Epicureans. They were seekers of pleasure. They were very, very materialistic. And they believed that the gods really weren't in the affairs of humanity. You know, the gods were distant, right? And the Stoic, they believed in living in harmony with nature. They were self-sufficient. God was in everything, meaning that God was in the sky. He was in the rocks and the sea. Just God was in everything. But they believed their fate was controlled by their destiny. And so just to sum it up, they were very materialistic and self-sufficient. Does that remind you of anywhere today? Yes. That reminds us probably right here in Georgia and across this great nation. And so the philosopher said to Paul, you know what? Paul, it seems like you're babbling because you're talking about Jesus and the resurrection. What is that? You know, this sounds very strange to us. And so, you know, if you're not understanding a concept, right? Or something doesn't fit in your culture, or it just sounds kind of ridiculous, that might be strange to you as well. Am I correct? And so they said to Paul, you know what, Paul? Why don't you come up to the Areopagus and meet my brothers on the council and share with them as well. So Paul agreed, and I'm sure Paul was thinking on the way there, what is going to be the best way for me to share the gospel with these people, right? So I'm sure that's what he was thinking. And I believe Paul's method was brilliant. I believe he thought, you know what? I'm going to be patient with them. I'm going to show them grace. And I'm not going to highlight their pagan practices. But what I am going to do is magnify God and show them that God is bigger than anything that they could have imagined. Right? You know, he didn't go in there and said, you know what, guys, you guys are going to hell. You need to save. You need to repent immediately. You know, that he knew that wouldn't be the way. And I know for me, when I got baptized, I wanted to share the gospel with everybody I met, right? But sometimes I think I might have been a little harsh with some of the words that I used. But I was doing it in my zeal, you know, not intentionally to hurt anybody. But I think sometimes that's what comes across. And we got to be careful. And this scripture in 1 Peter 3:5 helped me out. I'm just going to say, always have an answer for people for the hope that you profess. But you know what it says to do? Do it with gentleness and respect. I paraphrased it, but do it with gentleness and respect. And so Acts 17:22, we'll start there. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." And I think Paul right here was trying to use their culture in order to present the gospel to them in a way that they could accept it, in a way that they could connect with it. Paul was building a bridge. And he goes on to say in 23, "For as I walked around and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you." This was Paul's in. He found a common ground with them, a way to tell them about their unknown God, which was the one and only true God. And it goes on in 24. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us." Paul laid it out right there. Paul showed that the Creator, the true God, made everything. And not only made everything, he made us, and he wanted a relationship with us. Unlike their gods, God didn't live in temples. Because I'm sure Paul looked around and he saw all the temples built for Zeus, Poseidon, Athena, Apollos, Aramis. He's probably, "Look, God doesn't live in places like this," right? And so our God is self-sufficient. Our God is in control. From one man, God made all nations. And so the Ephesians were probably blown away at this point. They probably were thinking, "No, we're the center of civilization. Everyone else is barbaric," meaning they are less than, right? And even, brothers and sisters, in our time today, in our culture, we sometimes treat people less than, right? Instead of letting their gifts, their talents, their wisdom shine, I think we need to grow in this area. God also said, you know, he marked out the appointed times and boundaries. Whenever I study the Bible with somebody, I always point out that, you know what? Nothing happens by accident. We are all here for a purpose and a reason, right? And so they didn't even realize that God himself sent Paul at that appointed time from a distant land to share the gospel with them so that they would have an opportunity to be saved. You know, my friends, God is always working. We just have to realize that, right? And it goes on to say that God did this so that they would seek him. In another translation, it says, feel for him. Can you imagine being in a dark room and you can't see anything? And you're just reaching out and feeling your way. You finally find a wall. And you're rubbing your hands against the wall, praying, maybe I'll just reach a light switch. And boom, you finally reach it, and you turn it on. And you have light. God is that light. God is that light that we have to reach out to. It takes action for us to do that, or else we will remain in what? The darkness. And that's not, my friends, where we want to be. In 28, it continues. It says, "For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of our own poets have said, we are his offspring." You know, Paul was brilliant. He knew the Ephesians. He knew their poets, right? He quoted one of their poets and said, we are his offspring to show them that even they were God's offspring, and they didn't even know it. Goes on to say, therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design or skill. My friends, our God is a God of revelation and not a God of our imagination. We can't think of God in a certain way and mold him into who we want him to be. And then when we're finished with him, you know, we'll put him back up on the shelf to when we need him again. No, it's just the opposite. God wants to mold us into his son's image. He wants to transform us and make us anew. But what do we have to do? We got to reach out. Because he's not what? He's not far. Amen. You know, my life was much like the Athenians. It wasn't until I was 42 that I was willing to accept God. For the majority of my life, I lived pleasure-seeking. I was very materialistic. I wanted to look good at all times. You know, I was self-sustaining. I made sure I had enough money to take care of the things that I wanted. I was very selfish, although I tried to appear like I wasn't. I drank, I partied, I went out to clubs, I had idols. I was very greedy, very lustful, and so on. And I remember, and I don't know if you guys could relate to that, right? But I remember there was one particular night, and I was up in the club, right? As was my custom, because that's what I did. And I was scanning my surroundings, because you know what? I was in recon mode, right? And so suddenly the crowd parted, and I saw this beautiful woman, amazing woman, walking. And you know what? It looked like she was walking directly to me, right? I'm just saying. And I said in my mind, you know what, Paul? She can't resist you. She wants to dance with you.
That is not how I remember it.
What's going on?
Please remember that our theme for this year is you can't make this stuff up. So don't go making stuff up.
Oh, honey. This is my beautiful wife, Michelle. She's gonna join me today. Amen. Amen. Better half, you know what I mean? And so I fell in love with her, right? And it was about, 6 months later, we started planning our wedding. And we got married. And this picture right here is our honeymoon when we were in St. Lucia. I'm getting a little old in St. Lucia. Do you think that's a can't-make-this-up story?
This is a can't-make-this-up story.
Oh, amen, amen, amen. All right, so you know, we experience a good amount of success, or what we deemed to be success, right? We had a beautiful home, amazing children. There's one in the back right there. Amen. And one, ooh, Miles, I'm not going to miss you. There you go. Amen, amen, amen. We had luxury cars, Everything was just great. One thing we didn't have, though, is that we didn't have a dog. But believe you me, we have a dog now, so amen. Yes, yes. And I think people looking in at our lives, they might have thought, you know what? That couple has it all together. You know what I'm saying? But it's one thing to look in. And I think we all sometimes do that, where we might be envious of someone else or another couple. Has that ever happened to you guys? Probably not, right? And Ed, I'm not envious of you, brother. Just let me get the Range Rover, brother. You know what I'm saying? And I'll be happy. Yes. So is that?
And I think, you know, with us, we were living based on our opinions, what we thought was right. You know, you give to charity when you can, you volunteer when you can. But we were, there was a void. There was definitely a void where we knew there was something missing. Mm-hmm. And at the time, did not know what that thing was.
Yes. And the thing about it is we didn't have a connection with God. This is BC, this is before God, you know. But fast forward years later, we moved down to Georgia. That was in New York. We moved down to Georgia. And a week after we came to Georgia, we got an invite to come out to church. And I accepted that invite. And it changed the direction of our lives dramatically. Yeah. You remember that, honey?
I do.
We came in contact with a church called the GACC. Woo! About 40 people. Wasn't big. But God was present. Jody was a singer, amazing singer, and we fell in love with the church. And the person that invited us out, now this is a can't make this stuff up story. The individual that invited us out, his name was Eric, and he was the younger brother of one of my really good friends from New York. And I've known, well, actually, I knew Eric from I was about 20 years old, but didn't have a relationship with him because he was the younger brother. He was unseen. He was just there. But later on in life, as he grew and he got married and had kids, we met again. That's when he invited me, right? Now I could relate to him now, right? But the thing is, God himself will use people that you don't expect that he's going to use to make an impact in your life. He studied the Bible with me along with this young man right here, Derek. Derek, his wife, and Eric's wife, Tammy, studied with Michelle and the Mamaleoses. And that radically transformed us. Of course, we had to learn some new things. Because the way that we were doing it, we realized that it wasn't right. It wasn't good for us, and it wasn't good for our family, and it wasn't good for the family that we were trying to reach out to. And so those are the things that really, you know, I see now, and that's what I'm hoping for others. Amen? Amen. You have anything you want to share, sweetheart?
So one of the things that was really interesting, when I first met the Dams, that was the last name, Eric and Tamantha Dam, met them in New York, at their house in New York, and I remember her sharing about just life and talking about things that she did and mentioning having people at church in her house on a Wednesday. And I remember thinking, these are some strange people. Who goes to church on a Wednesday, right? Because I've got many other things to do with my time. Sunday's enough. There's no such thing as church outside of Sunday. So again, God orchestrates. He sets these things up. Later on, when we start going to church on Wednesday, I realize, that's what Tamantha was mentioning.
Amen, amen. And do you remember I spoke about in Acts the scripture where God appoints the times and the boundaries, the lands? So God brought Michelle and myself from the islands. She's from Trinidad, and I'm from Jamaica, right? We came from the islands, lived in New York for many years, and then came down to Georgia. I believe that God was working through that whole set of different areas so that when I got here, I would be open to hearing the gospel, right? Have you ever thought about the situations that God has brought you through to get you to the moment when you said, yes, brother, do you want to study the Bible? Yes. And you said, Jesus is Lord, not too long after that. You remember that? Or maybe you're here with us today and you're visiting. And maybe that this is your time where God is saying to you, you need to change, or you need to hear my word. He does that for us, right? But it's great to really think it through. And so God allowed us to experience so many victories. But you know what? We also went through some difficult times.
So yeah, I recently had one of those difficult times. And as Paul said, I've had hard in my life. But this was absolutely, without a doubt, one of the hardest experiences I've ever had to go through. Let me tell you about me, right? I'm the type, I eat healthy, I stay active, then all is good, right? Keep it moving. I am the fall down, dust myself off, and again, just keep it moving. Mm. In the fall, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Guess what? That stopped me in my tracks. There was no keeping it moving after getting that news. I was filled with so many different emotions. Alarm, first of all, right? That's that instant fear of, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? There was the sadness. There was anxiety, there was disappointment. Man, my body has failed me, and now what I'm going through is going to impact my family. And then just being annoyed. This is gonna mean a change for all of us. I'm annoyed that I'm going through all these emotions. Just plain old annoyed. But what is great is that we serve an amazing God who is in control of every single situation. And supersedes all emotions, right? Women, we know, we got the feels, we got tons of emotions, and they're real, and it's you've got to own them, but you don't live in it, right?
Come on.
Because we know who God is, and again, he is in control. So I want to dig into a verse, and if we can go to the next slide. So Isaiah 43:2 says, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burnt up. The flames will not consume you.
Mm. Come on.
I want you to take a quick second. Tell the person next to you what stands out to you in the scripture. So that means somebody's sitting next to you that you may not know. Just turn and talk to them. Okay. So I'm an educator, and I'm going to call on someone. Jordan. Yeah. What did you guys talk about? What stood out?
Talked about how even like in the deep waters, even in the fires, that God is with us and they won't.
So that, I think, for me, was one of the biggest things. There's a when. Right, so you live long enough, you will have a when. Everybody's when looks different. What the awesome thing is that God is there with you. And my question to you, even for something for myself, is that something I really believed, right? Do we really, really, really believe that he is with us in any of these situations? I do, because his scriptures promise so. When you look at Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, "The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you and forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." The beautiful thing about the scriptures is every word in there is there for a reason. It says the Lord himself, right? So there's no confusion. Don't get it twisted. He himself will be there with you. When you look at Psalm 18, verse 6, it says, "In my distress, I called out to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him, into his ears." If you're a parent, moms, you know you are, your husband snoring next to you, and that baby whimpers in the night, and you're like, bionic. You hear it, you know exactly what that cry means, and you are there. No, you were snoring. You were snoring. You were snoring. You were snoring. So let me tell you, my God heard me when I went through this. He heard me and he set me up in advance for the when, my when being breast cancer. Can we forward to the next slide? I'm going to share with you a little bit about my when. On October 14th, I was in a wedding. It was an awesome wedding. And I met this amazing lady, full of energy, funky style, lots of zeal. And during the short time I spent with her, she mentioned, you know, having had breast cancer. And I remember leaving away from, mind you, I hadn't been diagnosed yet. I left away from the wedding thinking, man, here's a full life after breast cancer diagnosis. On October 27th, so God prepared me, right? He prepared me with that encounter. October 27th. At the doctor's office, at the end of my biopsy, the radiologist says to me, "Miss Vendries, thank you so much for letting me take care of you." Drop the mic. Which doctor says to you, "Thank you for letting me take care of you today"? Then she says, "Let me give you my phone number, because you may have some discomfort after this procedure, and I want to make sure you are ready and you know what to do." God showed me compassion through this woman. How many of you have the personal phone numbers of any of your medical providers in your phone? She gave me her personal number, said, "Call me if you feel uncomfortable." Again, I did not have a diagnosis yet. November 5th, Sean sends a group text asking, "Hey, do you guys want to go on a prayer journey together?" So at that point, we were introduced to 40 Days of Prayer, which wound up being my backdrop for the journey. Amen. God equipped me. On November 6th, the very same radiologist calls me, shares the diagnosis with me, but in the most reassuring, "I've got you" phrasing, left me just feeling taken care of. God is faithful. November 13th. How many of you guys know our brother Russell Brown? Right? We know him as awesome security at the PATH. How many of you know that he has also been a breast cancer social worker? I didn't know that until right around November 13th. So here I have a very own brother in my church who helped me with, these are the questions you need to ask. This is how you can communicate to your children. These are some of the best doctors that you can talk to. God provided for me. So God prepared each of these people in advance of my situation, just for me. Even though I passed through the deep waters, he was with me all through it. So we say a picture is worth a thousand words. If you guys can just put that picture up. and I'm going to explain to you what this is that you're looking at. Each of these envelopes represents the heart of different sisters in the church. They contain scripture, they contain encouraging words. This was God loving me through people, through the church family. So sometimes we think small things like, what does a note do? For me, it did everything. Because some of these notes said, open on your doctor's appointment, open pre-surgery, open post-surgery. They set me up for possible emotions that I could be going through as I went further in my medical care. So fast forward to January 3rd. That morning, I had a double mastectomy with reconstruction and was at home in bed before the evening news. The next morning, I was looking at the view with my mom and my sister and my daughter. I had minimum to zero pain. You cannot make this stuff up. I had surgery on one of the most sensitive parts of your body, and I'm like, well, maybe you can give me 2 Tylenol, but I really don't feel anything right now. My entire recovery was like that. A time that could have felt traumatic, could have felt depressing, was not. I had great bonding time with my mom and my sister. I had 2 months at home with Paul just to relax and think. I had time to connect with childhood friends who ever gets that kind of time? And most importantly, I had extended time with God. So it was not depressing for me. It was a time of gratitude and a time of joy. You cannot make this stuff up. Amen.
And so that was a difficult time. And there came a time in this process where I knew that we were going to be okay. Michelle got diagnosed on. On a Tuesday. And midweek was that Wednesday. And I said to her, "Hun, what do you want to do?" And she said, "I want to go to midweek." Because she knew she was going to be around other like-minded people who could encourage her. And my friends, midweek, as is this church family, is family. Because it's just a smaller segment of the church. And see, so we were so encouraged by how they responded, how they helped us through this time. And so getting back to Paul in Athens, right? He spoke to them. He shared God's word with them. But he also let them know this. In 30, it said, "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a time when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them snared. But others said, 'We want to hear you again on this subject.' At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Some was Osidanus, I botched that, amen, a member of the Areopagus, and a woman, Damaris, and a number of others. So Paul spoke to them, and some heard. There were three different type of people here. Some who snared, you know, they kind of laughed and they had contempt for God's word. Then others said, you know what? I want to hear more. And that's amazing, you know, when people can say, you know, I heard some, but, you know, share with me some more, right? And then there was others who just followed Paul. They knew that what they heard was true. And I've been in each of these places. Where are you today? And so I think God has set up all of the scriptures to help us. He's given us different looks from different chapters in the Bible. We can see ourselves in different people in the Bible. But you know what? He's saying, I want you to join me, and I want you to help others to get to know who I am. Amen. So I want to thank you today. We're about to take communion. And so let us pray and take communion.
Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity for us to come before you to reflect on the sacrifice that you have given us, your Son, his battered body, his blood that was spilled for us, dear Father. As we take communion, let us really reflect on our gratitude. Let us think about whether or not our lives are aligned, Father, with what you would have for each and every one of us, yes. Dear God. Father, Lord, we thank you again, and we ask all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.